Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tomorrow is Friday, of course. We'll have Trivia Friday, but it'll be a best of. So we're going to pick one of our best of shows from 2016 and replay it. I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun, a lot of laughs. But don't call in tomorrow because it's going to, you know, obviously we won't be here live and in person to take your calls. So that's what's on tap. For tomorrow here on American Family Radio, we will have Trivia Friday. Tim Wildman here, joined along with Fred Jackson, who's news director for One News Now and American Family News, and also Dr. Ray Pritchard joining us from Dallas. Ray is with Keep Believing Ministries, and he's home with us Tuesdays and Thursdays. I wanted to spend the next few minutes just talking about Christmas this is... I was curious. You're a Canadian.
That's correct.
Fred, growing up in Nova Scotia, was Christmas celebrated the same time as here in the U.S.?
It is. Yeah, it's basically the same, and it's the church services, special church services, and the gift giving. And
what memories do you have of?
Well, it's interesting.
I'm guessing you're somewhere around 33, 34.
Really. Yeah, you just paid me an awfully great compliment.
You're early 60s. Okay, you're in your early 60s. Take us back to your childhood and what you remember.
I grew up in a rural area of Nova Scotia, and one of the memories I have, our house was located on the old farmstead, and my grandfather and grandmother lived like 3,000-4,000 feet away up in the hill. And one of the earliest memories I have is on Christmas morning, they would be coming down to have Christmas dinner with us at our house. And my grandfather would hitch up the sleigh, horse and sleigh, and my grandmother, who did not have great mobility at that stage in her life, my grandfather would help her in the sleigh, and they would come across the field down to our house to have Christmas dinner. And I was just talking to my wife about this the other day. That's one of the great memories that I have. For the most part, of course, we had... white Christmases, that was always nice, and it was always a big deal, obviously, to decorate the tree. But that memory of my grandfather and grandmother coming across the field, horse and sleigh, tying up the horse to the back fence in our yard, and coming and enjoying Christmas dinner with us, that's one of the things I remember.
Now, rural Nova Scotia, that's saying a lot. Because, I mean, yeah,
there's a lot
you
of
got
rural.
Halifax, yes. And then you got rural,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
For those who don't know, go look at the map of Canada, Nova Scotia, you're talking a few hundred miles above Maine, am I right?
Well, actually, across from Maine, but if you go to Boston, you go northeast from Boston, it's about 400 miles if you're flying directly as the bird
north?
Would fly.
Or
northeast of Boston.
Northeast. You're way up there though, and
yeah.
It's very, very, very cold, bitter.
Yeah, the winters were tough. Yeah. I remember, times when we were snowed in for 2 or 3 days before the plows would get out. And
what's the most common churches in where you lived?
Well, I was always part of a Baptist church growing up. And it was a convention Baptist church.
Like the Southern Baptist Convention in the States?
They became more liberal, and then there was a whole strand of independent Baptist churches that came off of that. But the mainline Protestant church, probably the best known, is United Church of Canada. That would be along the lines of, United Methodist here in the United States. And Roman Catholicism is a major denomination also.
Because the French influence?
Very much so, French influence there, but also Irish influence in that as well. But, almost everybody in our area, where I grew up, there was the street in front of us, and then there was a mile-wide harbor. We're right on the Atlantic Ocean there, and so The shipping trade was very big, fishing very big in that area. And one of the other things I remember, and this goes a little bit beyond the Christmas, but that harbor would freeze. And I remember as a kid, there would be horse races out on the ice in the wintertime. But also the ice would get that thick that you would have cars out there on the ice.
And how cold would it get in the winter in Nova Scotia?
Well, you would have sustained periods of well below freezing. And I mean sustained. The coldest winter I think that I ever experienced was when we were living in Moncton, New Brunswick, which is not too far away from Nova Scotia. And I remember a three-week period where it was about minus 35.
That's illegal, isn't it? I mean, shouldn't there be a law about that?
It's uncomfortable. When
you're talking about, you're not talking about wind chill factor.
No.
You mean literal, minus 35.
And I think most people will tell you when it gets to minus 35, it doesn't matter wind chill or not, it's really cold.
Right.
Really cold. Right. So much so that I worked early shifts in the morning when I was working in broadcasting there during that period. I would get up and have to go out and start the car a half hour before I was to drive into work just to get things thawed out. Because I'd get into the car and the seat was so hard because it was so cold, my head would hit the roof of the vehicle. And then when you start out to drive into work, where the tire had been sitting in the driveway that night, it was kind of a flat thing, so you would get this flat bump for a while until the air warmed up a little bit inside the tires of the car. So, it was really, really cold.
You know, for people down south, they hear stories like that, and we don't know what to say, Fred. I mean,
why do you live there?
That's right.
Well, you want to ask that without insulting people. You think, you know, there are other parts of the country you can move to during the winter.
But it's beautiful in the spring and the summer and the fall.
Summer, You know, there are many Americans who pay many hundreds of thousands of dollars to go into the area where I grew up, and they buy up shoreline properties and build very beautiful homes, and they'll go up there and they'll spend the summer and the fall, because the fall is beautiful, the fall colors, and then they return to the warmer south after that.
Well, so your parents raised you in a Christian home, so you have you guys celebrated Christmas all those years.
Very busy, and I remember, you know, I was part of the youth choirs, the kids choirs, right, and all of that, and getting ready for concerts. It was it's kind of sad. The church, when I go home to visit now to my mom, the church I was part of, she's still at that church, and they may have 25 or 30 people out.
They have back in your
it
day?
It was packed. They used to have to bring chairs in. Mm-hmm. So it was.
Did
it
everybody
was
move
deal.
Away?
Well, it's one of those things in the eastern portion of Canada where one of the big problems that they've had, with the exception of a city like Halifax, is that young people have to move away from the smaller communities to get jobs. It's either very seasonal or the big plants that used to be part. When I was growing up, we had a steel plant, which employed a lot of people, and we had several coal mines in that area. But all those coal mines, of course, have been shut down now. The steel plant went away because the Japanese undersold with their steel, et cetera, et cetera. So it's an area that has a lot of seasonal employment, a lot of fishing, which lasts about 4 or 5 months, and tourism. Tourism is big, obviously, and that sustains the economy.
Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and One News Now, talking about growing up in Nova Scotia, and still goes home there once or twice a year?
Once a year at least to see everybody. Yeah, it's kind of neat.
Yeah. Ray, we started this conversation talking about, I was asking Fred about his memories of Christmas growing up there. Now, you grew up in Northwest Alabama, right?
Yeah, I did, and you know, we had a white Christmas once. We had a half inch of snow on Christmas Day, and in Northwest Alabama, that's a white Christmas, right?
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Got that cold.
Do you have one or two memories?
You know,
Christmas memories.
The one that will stand out above everything else was, this would be almost 40 years ago. My wife and I had gotten married. We went to seminary. She took work so I could go through Dallas Seminary in the year after I graduated. moved out to a church in the Los Angeles area, a little tiny church of, at that time, 40 or 50 people, a Swedish covenant church, some called in the U.S. the Evangelical Covenant Church, but Swedish background. And our very first Christmas there, they told me we were going to have a Yuletide service. And I said, a what? And they said, a Yuletide. And they said, this is Swedish tradition. And I guess other Scandinavian countries as well. It's a usually an early Christmas morning service. I had never heard of this. I didn't know that you would get up and go to church on Christmas morning. I mean, really early. And I said, so what time? They said, 6 o'clock in the morning. I thought they were joking. I didn't take that seriously at all. And they said, oh, no, it'll be wonderful. And, you know, went through, you want us to wake up the kids, you want to get them in the car, bring them to church, at, I mean, even before we've opened the presents and all the rest, right? we could have a riot on our hands if we did that, you know?
Wow.
And they said, that's the tradition. And so with great skepticism, I announced it, and everybody said it'll be great. And that first, the very first, I was with Los Angeles here, 6 o'clock on Christmas morning, woke up and a front of some kind had moved in, and thick fog covered the city. So you couldn't see more than maybe just, you know, a few feet ahead of your car. So you're just creeping through the fog on your way to church, thinking, I'm going to open up church and nobody is going to be there. And you creep through the fog, you pull into the parking lot. Again, this is not a big church at all. And you see the parking lot is filled with people, filled. And the kids are there, and they're not even unhappy. They came in bathrobes and pajamas, right, because they're little kids, and the parents would let their kids stretch out and sleep on the, sleep on the benches. Came inside through the fog and the darkness, and we sang the hymns of Christmas. And I remember the first time a great old Swedish man, pastor now in heaven, Mel Dahlstrom, gave a wonderful talk about 10 minutes on Let's Go Straight to Bethlehem. We sang Joy to the World, and then we had a little Christmas fellowship afterwards, and we were done by 7:30 in the morning. And I'll say, In a lifetime of going to Christmas services, I don't know that I've ever been to one that felt more real and more genuine and more from the heart than that first Yuletide service on a foggy Sunday morning in Los Angeles, California.
Wow. What an experience.
Yeah, what a great memory, too, for the family. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. It's Ray Pritchard co-hosting with me today. I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson. We just talking about, as we look forward to Christmas Sunday, as Christmas will be Sunday, some memories that these two gentlemen had from their childhood. I mentioned the other day, one of my memories, and it's not as near as sentimental or spiritual as yours, although I have some of those. My dad was a preacher, and I went to church many times on Christmas Day, but I remember, I mentioned this the other day, Allison, my wife, and I, our children, we had three children. They were all small at the time, 8 or 10 and under, and or maybe they were 11, 12. Anyway, we had to put together a basketball goal Christmas Eve, and got it, and it was cold. Fred's laughing. Like, what do you mean by cold? I'm talking about it was 35 degrees Fahrenheit outside.
Mississippi cold, not Nova Scotia cold.
That's right. So Allison and I, my wife, this is 20 years ago or so, we're outside putting together that thing. The kids are in bed. So it's 10, 11, it's probably 11 o'clock at night. And and I'm no good at this stuff anyway. Instructions are not. Really, it's irrelevant. Whether I have instructions or not, whether the thing's going to get done correctly. Allison, my wife, she has more mechanical aptitude than I do. And I'll just, that may dent my manhood status. But
Facts are facts, right?
She's more smart like that. So she's out there helping me. We're moving along. But, I'm the man. I'm trying to take charge here and get my kids' basketball goal built. And we get – So we got the wrenches and the screwdrivers and the hammers and all mallets and I don't know what all we got out there, you know, trying to be as quiet as we can for the neighbor's sake because we are outside and we do have neighbors. So spent probably, I'm going to say a good hour and a half on that thing, maybe 2 hours on that thing, and got what we thought was done only to erect it and learn that the braces were on backwards.
And then,
you might ask, well, how did you not notice this as you were going along? Well, which made the basket face the wrong way. That's my point. It made it face sideways.
Okay, that is a problem.
So the basket's facing sideways it's supposed to be. But when you're engrossed in the banging and the screwing and trying to read, get to the English version of the instructions. Sometimes you don't see the big picture there.
That's
only
right.
Till you get through and you go, wow,
man.
Oh yeah. That was, my wife, she started, I was a carnal, at that point. I'll be honest with you. I was not spiritual. I'm glad the Lord didn't come back at that moment in time because I don't know if I'd be taken, but I know Allison, my wife, she started laughing.
Oh, no.
So hard, she had to she had to go away from me. But, I mean, because it was one of those things where you laugh lest you cry. And there was one other time we did something similar to that. I mentioned this the other day too. But we were up in our attic. It was one Christmas, and we had the great because I don't know why, but it was colder downstairs than it was up in the attic. Colder outside than it was in the attic.
Uh-huh.
Even in the winter, and we decided to put together one of these because we had a walk-in, not a walk-in attic. We had a stairs.
Yeah.
I mean, the pull-down attic, from your garage.
Mm-hmm.
So you walk up there, and we decided we'd put together this little car that we bought for one of the kids. And,
in the attic.
I know where you already know where this is going. but we didn't consider that it wouldn't fit back down through the door.
Oh no!
No. That was a good.
Okay.
I know what people are thinking. Man, you're not very bright. I would agree with that. I don't know. I don't know how that happened. I can't explain it. I just know, and my wife is very smart. I don't. And you would think, oh, can't you see this happening before? Maybe it was close. Maybe it was
right.
just an inch from fitting down through there, but it didn't. And.
Did you try to squeeze it though?
That you try to force it, yeah. But
yes, of course you try.
Yeah,
yes.
You try, but
you
don't want to damage what Santa spent money on. You know what
I'm
saying?
That's
right. So anyway,
mess up the door.
Yeah. Exactly. So memories like that, are fun too. That's all part of Christmas with little children.
Mm-hmm.
That's to see their eyes light up when they. Wake you up at 6 in the morning if they sleep that long, having gone and seen what's under the tree or out from the tree. Also, one of the spiritual parts of Christmas that I really have appreciated over our years is the candlelight services that churches have.
Mm-hmm.
Churches we've always gone to have candlelight services.
Beautiful.
Christmas Eve, and the whole family goes, and that's and we do some caroling. We do some caroling with some other families on Christmas Eve. Typically go to a hospice or a hospital or elderly folks' home to bless them. and it's always a blessing no matter how good you can sing or how poorly you can sing. But anyway, Ray, any other – you got your Christmas special coming up, right?
Yeah, let me just mention that the next 3 days here on the network, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, just jam-packed. It's simulcast music and talk all the way across the network. And folks, if you like Christmas music and Christmas programming, just stay tuned to AFR Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. In fact, if you go to AFR.net, and the banner at the top of the page says Christmas 2016. You click on it, you can see the schedule. I mean, we've got Todd Starnes with his All-American Christmas show from Bellevue Baptist Church and Max Lucado. And we've got the Brooklyn Tabernacle and Christy Knuckles. And we've got, Haven Christmas and Laura Storm. I mean, it's just a whole great lineup of music and Christmas programming. And one thing that I've been doing for the last several years at Christmas is putting together a special Christmas message that the very world-class production team there at AFR. They take the message that I record and they put Christmas music before it and underneath it and after it. So it's a very powerful production. And this year's, my message is called His Kingdom Will Never End. From the words of the angel Gabriel to Mary in Luke 1, His kingdom will never end. And they've put music underneath it. It's just glorious. Let me tell you, it's going to be aired five times over the next 3 days at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. on Friday, on Saturday at 5:30 a.m. at 1:30 p.m. and 10:30 p.m., and then again on Christmas Sunday at 1:30 p.m. That's His Kingdom Will Never End. Folks, I hope you'll tune in. It's an uplifting broadcast. And stay tuned to AFR because it's basically wall-to-wall Christmas the next 3 days.
That's wonderful.
Absolutely. As we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ and his coming to earth was, let me just say, for those who are believers and are Christians, we celebrate the birth of Christ. It doesn't matter, really, the exact day, whether it was in April or December. The fact is we're celebrating the birth, the coming of Jesus Christ. We would like it to be the exact day, but who will ever know? Who will ever know? We can't go back 2,000 right. years and get the exact time. So that's really not important. The important thing is that we're celebrating the birth, the coming of Jesus. And do you agree with that? Ray, or you think it
matters? The day doesn't matter. Okay. I mean, it's not specified in the New Testament. There's December 25th is as good a date as any, and it right. goes back very, very early in church history, but it's not from the New Testament. So we don't know. It's good that we take time during the year to remember that Jesus really was born and the Son of God came to the earth. The specific day, not as important as the truth that God became a man, that we, through him, might have our sins forgiven, be saved, and have a place with God in heaven forever.
Amen. Yeah. Saying, why do you think that what I wanted to ask you was the prediction, we got about 2 minutes, so I'll make sure I'm right in asking the question. It can be answered, but which is very important to the Christmas season. The birth of Jesus Christ was prophesied in the Old Testament hundreds of years before he came to earth, correct?
Absolutely. Prophesied in many different places. Okay. Many different places.
What's the most prominent?
Probably Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's the scripture that the angel quoted to Joseph in Matthew 1 to say, it's okay to take Mary as your wife because the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Well, if you're the type of person that's skeptical or you need convincing that the Bible is actually true, what the kinds of things Ray just shared is important to know because there are prophecies in the Old Testament that came true in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And so when did your special come on AFR, Ray, your Christmas special?
Tomorrow, 9:30, 5:30, Saturday, 5:30, 1:30, and 10 p.m., and Sunday, 1:30 in the afternoon.
Hey, Ray, thanks so much.
Thanks, Ray.
You, Tim. Merry Christmas,
thanks,
Ray.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Fred.
All right, good to be with you guys.
What's it saying in Canada? What's the expression that you guys, A?
A.
A.
Canada, have a good
a.
Christmas, A.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, A.
Yes.
All right, folks, take care, and Merry Christmas to everyone, and we'll see you Tuesday, live Tuesday.